Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast.
Have you ever carried fire around the church with a specific purpose to light candles on the altar to only then sit up in front of the whole congregation and get in trouble because you're talking to your friends and everyone can see you talk to your friends while your pastor is trying to lead worship? Well, I have, but thankfully we're not talking about that kind of acolyte today on Systematic Ecology. Hello, friends. Welcome to another episode of What's News, which is an episode where we talk about current pop and geek culture and all that's current and out there in geek and pop culture. And so we're excited to talk about, yes, new Star Wars content on Disney Plus called The Acolyte. We'll talk about other things that are out there in pop culture as well, but we're going to specifically talk about the first two episodes of The Acolyte. And we have a belief here on Systematic Ecology that whenever we're talking about new Star Wars content, we have to use the buddy system. And so, yes, I have a Star Wars buddy with me today. I want to introduce to you John. Yes. Welcome, John, to a What New episode. And so we won't bury the lead here. We're not going to bury the lead. What is your initial reaction to the first two episodes of The Acolyte that dropped last week by recording this?
Better than expected. If I had to summarize it in three words, that is how I would describe it, because I will not lie that my expectations were not very high.
Yeah.
Having seen all the rabbit holes and all the controversy surrounding the show and reading all the stuff online of people theorizing what it's going to be, what politics are going to be in it and all this stuff. So my expectations were not very high, but I was pleasantly surprised that it was better than my expectations.
Nice. Yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling. I really liked it. You know, when I come to Star Wars content these days, I'll confess that I come in with a little bit of anxiety because I'm wondering how they're going to handle this property, how they're going to handle the legacy characters, what story are they going to tell, and those kinds of things. But this, The Acolyte, is set 100 years before The Phantom Menace, and so it's an era that I'm not that familiar with, the High Republic. There's a lot of books and comic books that are out there, but I haven't had the time to go too deep into those and know a little bit about it, but not a whole lot. And so I came into this kind of fresh, like not knowing who these characters are, not knowing what this era is all about. And so I went in kind of with less expectations or kind of tampered expectations just to come and show up and see if I'm compelled by these characters. And I really liked it. I thought it was great. We'll get into it a little deeper later on about kind of our thoughts and in and outs and some of the characters and those kinds of things. But yeah, my suggestion for folks out there is there are a lot of articles and a lot of clickbaity stuff out there that's trying to pit the different opposing sides of the culture wars against one another. And you could go really deep into what director thinks this or thinks that, or what the actors are or what they're trying to do or not. And some of it's founded, some of it's unfounded. So just reject all those. Don't look at those. Watch the show first. Finish the show and have your own thoughts and opinions about whether you think it's good or not. And then you can do some deep diving about who's behind it and what they're doing and that kind of stuff. But yeah, just watch the show on its own and then let us know what you think. So I really liked it too. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but we're going to do a little lightning round here. yeah, you heard the lightning. And since we're going to talk, well, we'll do some lightsabers later. But there's a handful of new properties out there that are cooking when it comes to the culture that pops. And one that I'm hearing about that I've never been. I watched a lot of Doctor Who as a kid, kind of the old school Doctor Who. I didn't quite understand it, which is kind of sci-fi on TV. The newer Doctor Who over the last couple of decades, I haven't really gotten into. Just I have the time or bandwidth or that streaming service. But now that it's on Disney Plus, we have this new season of Doctor Who, and I am totally digging it. I'm loving this new Doctor. It starts off with an episode called Space Babies, which was crazy. Then the Devil's Cord. Then there was an episode called Boom, which Christian Ashley and Justin Coleman talked about. There's some faith stuff in there, religion, the military industrial complex, and soldiers wearing clerical collars and nuance of religion and faith, and maybe not so kind words with faith and religion, but I think it holds up a mirror about kind of a cautionary tale about religion or how the church could go if it got too deep into politics and military and all those things. But I really like that. I'm caught up to this episode called 73 Yards. And man, as I was watching this, it was so creepy. It was like, man, sometimes Doctor Who can get scary, almost like horror. And it was almost like watching an episode of The Twilight Zone or trying to figure out what was going on. And my wife turned to me while we were watching this saying, yeah, Doctor Who's similar to like Twilight Zone. Each episode has continuity, but it also has these standalone episodes that have you kind of freaked out a little bit, trying to figure out the mystery. And like, that's exactly what it is. But I'm digging the new Who and the new Doctor and all that. John, you were telling me that it's in your queue. You're almost there. What are your thoughts on Doctor Who? What's your plan?
So our plan is to watch it with the kids. Our plan, we've got Star Trek. We've got a lot of shows we got to watch, but Doctor Who is definitely on the list, especially since I believe it is now on, is it Hulu or Netflix? One of the two streaming services, or maybe it was Disney Plus. It's on one of these streaming services that we can access.
Yeah.
So we're planning on doing a chronological, trying to hit the main plot points before we get to the new seasons, because I don't want to leave all the old stuff in the dust, which is why we make our kids sit through all the old Looney Tunes and all the old cartoons and the original episodes of, like, you know, Star Wars and Star Trek and all these other things. We're going to make them watch the originals first so that way they have a better appreciation for how it's progressed, and they'll catch references to things that might be, in the newer stuff where they go back and do recalls.
Yeah, I think that's smart. Like, there's a lot of content out there, and you can hop into a new season. There's on ramps and off ramps when it comes to some of these shows. But yeah, if you're gonna like sit with your family, kind of intergenerational geek watching, then yeah, there's kind of a plan to kind of go back and see what came before it, and then hunt down the necessary episodes to watch and that kind of thing. There's a friend of the show, Daniel Sigmund. He's a patron and supporter of the show, and he gave me a geek hack where he was saying that if you don't want to watch every single episode, sometimes you can just watch like the recap. Every show has like previously on the previous episode, that they'll show like a quick recap, and then that'll kind of give you a gist of what's going on, and then hop to the episode that you really want to. So there was a show out there not too long ago that I just kind of watched the recaps, just kind of see the big highlights and the character moments. And yeah, that was fine to try to catch up. But yeah, there's a lot of content, and I'm glad that Who is on your list. I know Josh was a huge fan. Justin's a huge fan. We have a lot of Who fans out there. And the accessibility of the new Who on Disney Plus has been helpful to me to go into that. So yeah, and I like it that Disney Plus and Hulu have kind of merged. And so all those shows from FX and Hulu and Disney Plus are all there in kind of one streaming service, which has made it helpful. Can also be overwhelming, but yeah, a lot of cool content out that. So Who, we're pro Who's here at Systemic Ecology. Another thing I'll lift up is an animated show on Max called My Adventures with Superman. John, have you heard of this show?
I have not really. The only time I've heard about it, I think, is listening to you guys on the podcast, but
right.
I'm not familiar with that. I'm not a Max subscriber. That's another one of those that I think they're going to do a bundle with Hulu and Disney Plus soon, so I might be looking into that. But
no, they're all coming together. Yeah. I like the DC animated universe. I think, where it comes to the old Batman animated series, Superman animated series, the Justice League stuff have been really great things. And a lot of our hosts and fans out there, listeners, love it. And it's really good. And I think Max is really tapping into that with this new show, My Adventures with Superman. And it's kind of a young Clark Kent who's just getting his feet under him, his wings under him, his cape under him as a new reporter in Metropolis, and his friends with Jimmy Olsen and Superman's girlfriend. Why am I blanking?
Lois Lane?
Oh my gosh. I was going to say like Lana from Smallville, Lois Lane. How we could forget? She's portrayed so great in this series, Lois Lane. And so there's this trio of friends who are trying to be friends and share and earn trust. And Superman has this learning curve of what it means to be a hero, but also have friends and take care of the city and the people he loves, but also not understanding where he came from and why he's here and why he was sent here by his dad and Krypton. And so season one, which is so much fun. And then my comic shop had My Adventures with Superman comic book. Yes, they have a comic, and it's an all new, all different story set between seasons one and two. So it kind of bridges the gap between, and season two just dropped, or geez, each episode is dropping as week goes on. And I've seen the first couple, and again, it's not missing a beat from what did last season, and it's really a lot of fun. I really think, John, with you and your family and kids, if you ever get Max and they bundle that together for you and it's easy for you guys to watch, this is a great kind of family show and animated. It's tame enough. I mean, it's probably PG. There's probably some violence and some stuff going on that can sometimes be scary for little ones, but in terms of the genuineness and character of Superman and Clark and Lois and Jimmy, it's perfect, and I love it. So that is a big recommendation for me out there for folks who want to geek out on new cartoons. Also some other upcoming stuff that's not out yet, but I'm excited about. We love The Bear, which is I don't know if you've watched that. It's on Hulu, but it's an incredible drama. Not for the faint of heart, but man, season three is coming up here in a few weeks. And then House of the Dragon, for all you Game of Thrones fans, is right around the corner, I think next week. And so there's some new content coming up. That one's not for kids, John. Do not let your kids watch House of the Dragon just yet.
Yeah, I've been wanting to watch Game of Thrones with my wife, but we are trying to find a censored version. Mm-hmm. And I found one on the internet, but I don't know the quality of it, because I feel like a censored version of Game of Thrones would be like watching Jerry Springer, you know? I don't know.
Yes. There are a lot of families and a lot of talking. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, we're welcome to all geek stuff here, and we understand that, you know, there's a line and boundaries that some people just like, you know, that's not for me. I don't know if I want to go down that road, and that's perfectly all right. But yeah, we like that high fantasy and the drama and all that stuff. And so House of Dragons right around the corner. And I'm sure we'll be talking about that on Systematic Geekology. So yeah, those are some of the things out there, friends. If there's things that we're missing or things that you're really stoked about that we're forgetting, not talking about, then of course, message us and let us know what you want us to talk about. So, all right, let's get into it. The Acolyte. All right, John. So you liked it. You said it met your expectations, where it came in with like checked expectations. This show deals with the light side and dark side of the Force and some mystery behind it. John, give us kind of the overline plot of what it did the first couple episodes and some things that highlighted for you and some things that you liked about it.
Okay. I want to say, it basically starts out with the main bad challenging the order of the Jedi. The main villain, who you find out is a twin. Her name is May, and she challenges Jedi Master Indara, which is I really like the character. If Indara didn't last very long. That was an expectation that changed, because I expected that. I felt like, yeah, I liked her character because she was kind of, you know, really kind of secretive and really trying to think of the right word, but I don't know, when you think of a Jedi Master, she's kind of like the archetype that you imagine. Uh-huh. And she gets defeated by the the main villain pretty early on, and the plot itself is basically that the main villain's twin, Osha, is accused of these crimes, and she has no idea. She didn't even know her sister was alive.
Right.
So there's basically unpacking the plot of what happened to her, and also there's the history of Osha, who is the main character who's on the quote-unquote good side that was accused of her sister's crimes, unpacking her past to find out what happened to her and her sister, how they got separated, and why they thought she was dead. And you learn that she was part of the Jedi Order and Jedi Master Soul, who was also the actor from Squid Game, who does a fantastic job of being kind of a Qui-Gon Jinn figure to Osha. And I just, superb acting, which is, I think, they had a really good cast, which I believe helped them out tremendously with this plot line. But every turn that the show took was unexpected to me. I expected it to be contrived. I expected the main character, Osha, to be like overpowered on the Force, like Rey in the sequel trilogy. I expected her to have everything basically handed to her on a silver platter, but it was not. She hit every turn that she took. You know, she was trying to fix things, and it was just not going her way. She couldn't escape the jail cell. Everyone was betraying her. She couldn't use the Force, and everything was set out against her. And she almost contemplated jumping off a cliff. And I was just like, you know what? This show's got something going for it. It's got a little bit more meat and potatoes to the character development than the sequel trilogy, which is one of the reasons I liked it.
Nice. Yeah, I'm with you with all that. I think some of the fan reaction, you know, we talked about it, you know, even before it hit the streaming services and debuted, there was a lot of trepidation by Star Wars fans, a lot of, you know, kind of culture wars and pop culture wars kind of against each other talking about it. It was review bombed on Rotten Tomato. The critics love it. The audience score is super low. I think it was review bombed, but I kind of went in just, yeah, you know, like you said, low expectations and, or just kind of checked expectations, ready to just see, what is the story going to try to tell me? And does it fit in the Star Wars universe? And I think some of the theme songs, some of the robots, some of the aesthetics really have the Star Wars vibe. Again, it's 100 years before the Phantom Menace. They have some Phantom Menace Easter eggs and characters and aliens that show up in this. They have some Star Wars tropes about light side and dark side and Jedis and Sith and twins. You know, twins are a big part of the Star Wars universe. And so we have some twins here. But what I really liked, and what made a difference for me, the context for me watching this was I was watching with Trip Fuller on his birthday, the Podfather himself. We were like, hey, let's have a birthday party and watch it together. And so we watched it, and it was fun watching with a friend. And we noticed kind of off the bat that it seemed really cinematic, that the editing was on point. They had the side swipes and the washes that George Lucas used in the original movies. And some of my problem with Ahsoka and Obi-Wan and Book of Boba Fett, even though I like those characters and I like the plot and some of the things that was going on there, some of the editing choices seemed weird to me, and it dragged in some places or was too quick in others. But this one felt like it really moved, and it was edited really, really well. John, I don't know if you kind of got that feel as you were watching it. I just felt like it moved at a great pace. Some people were saying it too fast, but I really liked it.
No, I thought the pacing was on point. I feel like they did extra work on the editing with this show because of, I guess, the controversy surrounding it. I feel like they took a little bit more time with it. Maybe they, instead of like Kenobi, I feel like they did the sloppy job editing it, and most of the scenes ran on way too long. Yeah, and that's why I like the fan-made edit version better than the actual show, because it cut out a lot of the fat on the show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I digress. In regards to the Acolyte, I think that the characters interacted really well. I feel like the dialogue was done well, and every character kind of had their own motivations, and each character didn't stay the same throughout the episode. Even within the episode, some characters had a little bit of growth, like with Yord not trusting Osha in the beginning, into realizing that, oh, she's a twin, and then he was like following her in the shadows, which I didn't even catch. I didn't even notice that he wasn't part of the main group. And then when he showed up behind her, when she was standing over that one Jedi Master's body, he was like, nope, she didn't kill him because I was following her. And I'm like, oh, good. The character did something off camera that was important that would be within his character because he didn't trust her. So he followed her. And yeah, it ended up being in her favor because he vouched for her when he realized that she was telling the truth and that she wasn't the killer.
Yeah.
If you'd like to support our show on Captivate, feel free to go to captivate.fm and find our show, subscribe. You'll get access to any future online D&D campaigns over there. You'll get an extra bonus question for 4 to 8 times a month. You'll get extra content like that through there. You also get a one-time donation you could make to help support the show right on Captivate. So you don't get anything for the one-time donation, but if you'd like to just support the show once, do a quick donation, you can do that through captivate.fm. Our overhead includes editing software, marketing, equipment, recording software, and a whole lot of other stuff. And we really appreciate everybody who can help keep the lights on.
Yeah. And so yeah, it is. I think there are some fan reaction talked about, they felt bait and switched with, Carrie Ann Moss from The Matrix being this Jedi who was kind of marketed as someone who was going to be a big part of this series. And then was killed off in the first 5 minutes with a pretty epic, force foo, scene.
Oh,
and,
yeah. And,
but I think we'll still see her later on in flashbacks. I think the mystery isn't necessarily, it's kind of predictable that, oh, she has a twin. Oh, we know who killed this person. The Jedi are trying to figure out what's going on. And, these Jedi that we see here, I think the portrayal is they're not necessarily, I don't know, religious monks and peacekeepers as much as they are like Jedi police, Jedi detectives. And so there are some political undertones and military police kind of aspect for these particular Jedi in the High Republic. So the mystery is that there's something that happened with Mei and Osha, that the Jedi, perhaps these four Jedi that Mei's trying to take out, that they're not telling it. They're not telling others. There's some background here, some shady stuff happening. Something went down that they're trying to cover up and don't want to share, that Mei knows about, that led her down the dark side or choosing different choices to do with the Force. And so that's the real mystery. What do these Jedi do? What do they see? What do they not do? And why does she want revenge so bad? And then, Osha, I really like her character. I like her development. You see her caring heart, but she also loves her sister and didn't know she was alive. Or did she? Is she in on it or not? Are they working together as a tandem? I don't know. I don't think so. There could be another big twist later on when it comes to their motivation and what's behind all this. But yeah, Soul, Jedi Master Soul was so cool. He gave me Qui-Gon Jinn vibes in terms of how he carried himself and his approach to the Force and the younglings and caring for his former Padawan, who couldn't be a Jedi because she had too much attachment to this trauma and family trauma. So they let her go to do other things. But yeah, that's the kind of the mystery behind it that I can't wait to see. Is we saw the first two episodes, but there's 8 episodes. So we get 6 more. And so there's more story to be told. After the first two, I was like, I want to know more about this story. I want to know about these characters and how going to lead. And that's kind of what you want with a debut. Did they hook you enough that they want that you want to keep watching and want to see what unfolds next? Yeah, so that's kind of where I am. There's a mystery. There's also lightsabers. People are kind of comparing it to Andor a little bit, but Andor with lightsabers. Andor's a little slower paced, a little bit more methodical in its storytelling. So I don't get that quite vibes, but I do like it a little bit more serious Star Wars show. But
it's like a Star Wars police procedural kind of. It's kind of interesting the way that they approached it in the first two episodes, where they're like, all right, you match the description of this person, you're under arrest, let's go to jail, or space jail. And then they they find out they unpack a little bit more of the backstory, and then the attacks keep happening while she's in custody, and they're like, oh, well, maybe we made a mistake. And I like the disharmony between some of the other Jedi Masters, like the one with the green Jedi Master. I can't remember her name.
I wrote it down. Venestra Rue, I think. Venestra. Yeah, yeah.
And it's like they all can't cohesively agree on everything, and that's why. And it reminds me of Qui-Gon again, where Qui-Gon disagreed with the Jedi Council a lot, and he's like, "No, this is what we need to do. This is how we should approach things." and they just have contention amongst each other. And he just feels like, oh, okay, so I'm going to have to, unless I don't want to get kicked out of the order, I got to follow orders and do this. But he clearly has a little bit of disagreement there. And that brings in some good drama. And I feel like with the supreme acting skills of the actor here, it's pulled off, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I like that actor too. I love Squid Game, and man, that show, haunted me and rocked my world when I watched it. That's not for the faint of heart either, but man, when I heard he was going to be in this show, and some of the others, I was like, man, yeah, right on. And I loved his calming nature, non-anxious presence. And I like it that they were able to admit that they weren't quite right, that they're shifting. And like, oh, I need to learn more before I jump to a conclusion. They jumped to some conclusions. They were proven wrong. And he's like, no, we're not going to handcuff her. We're going to walk with her. So there's some disagreement. Even these sassy Padawans who are like, what? Come on, master. What's going on? And they're kind of chirping back and forth with each other. I kind of like that. Star Wars needs that. The characters, they kind of chirp back and forth and banter back and forth, I think is as a part of character growth and storytelling that I really like in this universe. But yeah, we got some different colored lightsabers. We have different approaches to the Force. We have different alien planets. We have different aliens. They have cantina scenes. We have fight scenes. We have twins that are going to battle out between light and dark, perhaps. And then the climactic kind of cliffhanger at the end of the second episode is that we have a Wookiee Jedi. We are seeing a Wookiee Jedi, and this is Kel Naka. And man, what were your thoughts? John, I don't know if you have dogs or pets or your thoughts about Wookiees, but I love dogs and I love Wookiees. And the fact that I'm seeing a Jedi Wookiee, I am super stoked about this.
Well, that reminds me of, I can't remember his name, it was Scungy or something from, I want to say, The Bad Batch. There was a Wookiee Jedi Padawan in The Bad Batch, and that's what I'm getting vibes of this. I can't remember the dude's name. I think I said it right.
Yeah, that's right. Kind of bonded with Omega. I kind of taught her how to like be mindful and pause and meditate. I thought that was cool. So yeah, I'm with that kind of cliffhanger. He's next on the hit list for May, and she's taken two out. She's got two more, and man, they better not take out that Wookiee. But I think, you know, yeah, you see the Jedi, you see the Coruscant, you see the Jedi Temple, you see the Younglings, the High Republic. You know, at some point they're going to come down the road and they're going to have the Phantom Menace, and the Sith is going to kind of pull a fast one under them or go underneath the radar. And so is there a Jedi cover up? Do they know about the Sith and yet they're not telling anybody? Is Yoda going to show up here in this series? I don't know. We'll see if he shows up. I would love that, but he doesn't need to. There can be others that lead to other things. But yeah, I liked it. What were some of your favorite scenes with this? You know, one of mine was this, the prison breakout. She was in prison.
That was the scene that I was about to say.
Yeah, and you have these different characters and approaches to what's going on. She's kind of framed, but she still shows character, like heart for others. And she has this little droid called Pip.
Yeah, like Pip Boy from Fallout.
Yeah, Pip. Pip, this little like android that helps her out, that can fit in her pocket almost like a holster, you know, almost like an iPhone, which, you know, of course, they're going to sell this thing at Galaxy's Edge here pretty soon. But I think a cool new, you know, handy droid that's by your side in the midst of all this. So her and her droid and breaking out of this prison ship. But then I think how she interacts with others kind of revealed real quickly the kind of character that she has.
Yep. I like the prison break scene because it did not follow the tropes that I thought it was going to. I thought she was going to, you know, use the Force easily, or it was going to come to her naturally. And I thought everybody was going to help her escape, and it was going to be kind of nuanced, but it wasn't. It just went completely wrong for her, and she ended up crash landing. And I thought that was great because it did not take the easy route in terms of plot. It was like no one wanted to help her. They all betrayed her, even though she tried to help somebody else. And then she tried to use the Force and failed, and she couldn't get in on escape pod. So she's just, and I like the droids that turned into chairs at the end of the.
Oh my gosh! Yep, I'm glad you brought that up.
It was like, okay, I guess we're just gonna crash, and then the ship actually crashed, and I was actually really appreciative of that because I was like, oh good, something went wrong for the main character. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, even though she's out of practice with the Force, the Force didn't work out. She's reaching out like Luke did for that lightsaber on Hoth. And I thought that thing was going to zip to her hand, you know, but it didn't. But yet the ship kind of, you know, had something hit it and it turned a certain way and it got the droid in her hand anyway. So I don't know, the Force is at work there, even if she's not trying, kind of working out for her. And those chair droids, like, I'm like, man, you know, it's cool when you see familiar things in Star Wars, but when you see something new, whether it's a new alien or a new kind of droid, I thought that was pretty clever and pretty funny. And yeah, I want one of those for my car now. I want a chair droid for my car. Come on, Subaru, get on that. You have one assignment. Chair droids for my car. I already had eyeballs that help me with cruise control and lane correction. So I just need a chair droid for that car. Another character we need to bring up, and this is who's helping May, is Chimer. So he's like the guy that's in the drug emporium or poison control or whatever he's doing. What are your thoughts of him? I don't know if you saw The Good Place. Did you guys ever watch The Good Place?
No, I didn't, but
it is one of my favorite shows of all time. I really love it. We're going to do an episode on it at some point. I thought it was clever. It was funny. It talks about the afterlife and spirituality in ways that, you know, you would expect, Hollywood to do. And I really loved it. So he is one of the main characters on The Good Place as Jason Mendoza. And so when he came up, I was like, oh, Dip, Jason Mendoza, Bortles. There's all these like kind of cliche stuff from the Good Place. But when he showed up, it took me a little out of the show a little bit because I was expecting to see him as kind of this goofball, clueless dude. But I think he's still playing that role a little bit. But there's something about him that maybe he's another acolyte. He's another disciple of this Sith Lord. There's something else going there about weapons and not using weapons and using other means by lightsabers, and how do you tap into the Force and proving yourself and initiations when it comes to the acolyte, which is not an acolyte of the Jedi. Those are Padawans, but the acolyte of some dark Force user. And so I think there's more to the eye when it comes to this guy. And I can't wait to see what unfolds. And what were your vibes with Chimer and him? You know, he seems shady. He seems shady.
Oh yeah, no, he's sketchy. He's giving her drugs, and he's looks like he's running a front at this business or whatever's going on. But there's mm-hmm. more to him, and he referred to this mysterious bad guy as, you know, master or whatever. Yep. So mm-hmm. there's definitely more to unpack there, and I kind of like this subversion of the Force where they're not like the Darth Maul character, mm-hmm. where they're coming out with red lightsabers. They're more so trying to attack the Jedi, and they're just basically referred to as an unknown Force user.
Yeah.
And
I liked that opening crawl. Like, it came up with a note. It didn't crawl like a movie, but it definitely, like the Solo movie, popped up with some narration to let mm-hmm. you know where it is in the universe and the context of where it is. And this Sith master or Lord or apprentice, I don't know. I've seen online pictures of like his mask and these creepy like teeth thing or like zipper, you know, his voice, you know, gave me kind of Kylo Ren vibes to it. I wish it would have been a little bit more creepy and Sithy, but that's okay. We'll see what happens with this guy and how he falls into all this and how they'll wrap this up, which will lead to, the EU or the expanded universe of Darth Plagueis and others. Maybe that comes into play a little bit later on when it comes to Palpatine and what's happening next. So some compelling characters, and that's what we want in a Star Wars show. I want the Star Wars vibes. I want to feel like I'm in the Star Wars universe, and then I want some characters that I care about, and then I want some mystery to draw me along to keep going through the series to see how it expands the universe. So I feel like it did all those things. So I'm pretty excited about what happens next. What are some things you're hoping that this show does in the next few episodes? I know we're kind of keeping our expectations in check, but is there some things that you want to see played out or any legacy characters show up?
I'm definitely expecting at least a cameo of Master Yoda, because he's part of the High Republic. He's part of that children's show.
Yeah.
On Disney Plus, that's set in the High Republic era. So I mm-hmm. fully expect at least a scene with Master Yoda in it. Otherwise, yeah. In regards to the show itself, I'm expecting some more kung fu yoga, Jedi fu going on, which I thought was great. I actually really liked it. I was kind of disappointed it didn't go on longer. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, because I had like Hidden Tiger, Crouching Dragon vibes to it, and to be honest, that reminded me of like Rogue One and those really awesome kind of martial arts scenes. And I'm like, why haven't they utilized this more? Because we all know how awesome the duel between, you know, Darth Maul and Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon was, and that utilized a lot of, you know, choreography and martial arts. But you know, to see kind of like a Jedi Fu thing going on where they're using the Force kind of to accentuate their own martial arts techniques and skill in combat is even another, it's a whole nother aspect that I'm just like, wow, I didn't know I really wanted this, but now I want it more.
Yeah, I love that. That's what I'm hoping for too. And I think we will, you know, I think we'll see a lot more lightsabers. I think there's a lightsaber whip that's going to show up at some point. Yeah, I think whenever we saw Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan kind of zip fast away or jump real high or jump low and some of the choreographed stuff out there, we've seen Master Yoda in Attack of the Clones, like, you know, flipping all over the place, you know, and so, yeah, people are like, oh, man, here we go. Kung Fu, Star Wars mixed with The Matrix. And I'm like, yeah, I'm all for it. Let's do it. How do they use that? And I liked their explanation of like how they use their power and what they use their power for, and the reverence to when they blaze a lightsaber or not, whether they intend to use it or kill with it. Although the other dude like used it as a flashlight, which like, hey, weren't you just talking about like you don't blaze it unless you really need to do it or intend to use it?
It's kind of a callback to the video game series with Cal Kestis, that he uses his lightsaber as a flashlight.
I like that. So yeah, like I think, of course, you would use that for certain things and self-defense and this kind of martial arts of the balance. And I think we can apply that to our faith too. Like there's like in terms of our practice of being mindful and being one with the spirit and not wanting to attack first, but only for self-defense and all those things. The weapons of the spirit aren't to be used to attack another person or get revenge, but one for like forgiveness and for grace and for exploration and learning and growing. And so I think the Jedi are leaning into that, but here, May has other agendas there, and you can see where she kind of gets off track with the kind of right way to use light side of the Force. So I'm interested to see how they play around with that. You know, where the Andor didn't talk about the Force much or didn't have any lightsabers, very few lasers. It more about the rebellion, the political nature behind all things. This one's really leaning into expanding Jedi lore and lightsabers, and man, that's why I'm there for Star Wars. I like the other stuff, but man, I'm mainly there for Jedi. There's a reason why I wear a robe on Sunday mornings. Yes, I take my faith seriously. I'm a pastor, but you know, I'm secretly cosplaying as a Jedi Knight.
Space Jesus,
Force Jesus. There you go. Cool, y'all. Well, let us know what you think about the Acolyte. Let us know what you're watching. Let us know what you're consuming in the culture that pops, and remember to rate and share and let us know what you think about this show and what you're geeking out on. We'd love to hear from you and those kinds of things. And let me also share, I don't know if I'm kind of springing this on John, but we have a bonus question. And so you need to hop over to Patreon, and if you're a member of Patreon, you're going to get a bonus question. You're going to be able to hear how John and I answer this question. Would you rather have a robot chair fly you around space, or a Jedi Wookiee for a Jedi Master, but you can't understand what this Wookiee is saying? So yeah, that's the dilemma. That's the dilemma that we're going to wrestle with, that we want you to hop over to Patreon and let us know that you can hear that answer, and then you can tell us how we go from there. So thanks again for a fantastic episode, John. Thanks. And we have more Acolyte to share. So if there's something big happens with this show, we'll hop back on a live stream or an episode to share our thoughts. Or we're going to wait to the very end of this episodic show after episode 8. We'll come back on here and give our full review of the show in its entirety. And so y'all, thanks. And one of my favorite Star Wars sounds, if you're on YouTube, Seismic Charge. We're out. All right, y'all. Remember, share the faith and share the...
Hey guys, Christian here. Have you ever wondered why you should become a patron? Well, let me help you out. Because if you become a patron, what you can do is have live access to our YouTube exclusives like Comic Book Ketchup, Drinks with Teachers, Manga Mustard, and a companion series that go along with our annual theme. You can be there live, commenting with us. We really want you there. You also get access to exclusive merch. We have t-shirts, mugs, handbags, long sleeve shirts, all over the place for you, for your help in helping us. Also, we have extra bonus questions for you to look at. We have 4 to 8 times a month doing that. We have exclusive Discord channels for you, discounts at our store, access to any future D&D campaigns, and you can easily access all the patron content through our Spotify page at the top where it says exclusive content for subscribers. Also, one of the new things we're adding is voting privileges for future episode topics. We're going to be doing specific things for you, voted by the patrons. And you also get that extra satisfaction of just helping us out. And we appreciate all you do.
Hi, my name is TJ, and I'm here to tell you about the Onizon Ministry Podcast Network. We have a bunch of shows on AMP. You can follow the entire network in a single feed on Spotify at Onizon Ministry Podcasts or on the network page on Apple Podcasts. Some of the ones we're running right now are The Homily, which is Pastor Will's homily messages from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Chapel Hill. We have The Whole Church Podcast, which one of my favorites. It's where myself and Joshua, we interview leaders from different denominations and backgrounds to work for a full church unity, Big C. We have My Seminary Life by Brandon Knight, former host on Systematic Ecology. He discusses his experience at seminary and discusses seminary topics so anyone can access the knowledge. Which is kind of cool. It's like the book, everything you learn in business school and then everything you don't learn at business school. That's great. We have Let Nothing Move You by Christian Ashley. He goes through the Bible, kind of like it's a Bible study, to explain the biblical narrative through his perspective and what he's learned. Dummy for Theology, which is Joshua's show. He discusses various theological topics in an attempt to show every side of big discussions. That leaves you with more questions than answers, which everyone loves a lot. It's kind of a continuation of a series that we did on Whole Church, but it's really good. It's really fun. We have The Bible After Hours, where the foul mouth preacher goes through the Bible from a progressive view to challenge the status quo of the modern church. I love that one. If you're from a more conservative background, that one I find will probably be the most helpful for you. Definitely check that out. And we have The Clydes. Taylor and Elizabeth Clyde go through weekly discussions in a devotional, conversational method to help us get closer to one another and God. That's just a little review of what we do in AMP and all of our other shows. So check that out, get subscribed, and just start getting all that free content, you know?